This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. We're also brought to you by the Hockey Gambling Podcast brand new YouTube page. The Hockey Guys are giving away a hoodie to celebrate their new YouTube channel. Register today at SportsGamblingPodcast.com/HGP. All right, D-Gens, welcome back. If I'm doing the ad reads, it means Boston Capper is still on hiatus. He says he doesn't have corona, but his throat is apparently on fire, and he slept all day. It definitely sounds like he's got coronavirus, but in his place is our producer and SGPN content creator, Cameron Kerr. Cameron, second consecutive show with you. Are you getting really comfy in that seat, being in the co-host chair?
I'm getting more comfortable, that's for sure. I'm just trying to provide as much value as I can in Capper's absence. So hopefully I don't let you down here. But I feel like I got some good questions and a good little list here for the century.
Okay. Yeah, I always enjoy when you're on the show because, Capper's got his own takes and he kind of digs his heels and stuff. You, I feel like I can kind of manipulate and get you on my side with these arguments. And, you always come with good questions too. And I always love answering questions from not just you, from everybody in Discord. We had somebody asked about Eric Cole in Discord earlier, and I answered that question once. We will certainly talk about him shortly. But what I want to ask you too is, listen, this is the first time we've had you on a golf podcast. Well, technically, he showed up for the mailbag, but, so I would say probably the last year or two, probably you've been much more serious betting on golf. Is there anything you want to do differently this year? Maybe some sort of resolution as far as what you want to, as far as what you want to either bet on more or maybe scale back on. What's something you maybe want to do differently with golf gambling?
That is a great question. So golf gambling is really unique, and there's a lot of ways to get a sweat, obviously, which is why we love it. I want to start doing more matchups. I kind of started doing more matchups towards the end of the season, and I had some success doing it, and I just got in this position with placements where I wasn't really having fun sweating like a guy who's 21st to make a putt on 18 to jump up into the top 20 and stuff like that. I don't know. I just hit this lull where last season where I just wasn't enjoying it as much. So I tried to, switch it up, go to some matchups, and found some edges there and had some success. So that's one of my New Year's resolutions. The other one, I started doing this probably halfway through the year, bet all my outrights top five. If you have bet 365, I think you can get like top twos, top threes, maybe not risk as much. But there were a couple outrights that I hit last year where I also had another guy in the top five, turned a really good week into a really great week. And then sometimes you get that that second, third place guy that maybe you got two of them in a playoff and neither of them win, but you still get, your money back.
Is that a reference to the Rocky Mortgage? You really want to bring back that trauma for me?
I know. Yeah, yeah.
That's I think that's probably the worst beat I've ever had. Is how that went down, and then I went away and people thought I quit. I think you bring up some good points. The thing with the positionals, so that's usually been my bread and butter, and you kind of hit on it. And it's one of the reasons why golf is, this is, I guess, a hot take, a kind of a tough sport to enjoy gambling on, is if you don't have an outright in the mix, chances are you're never going to see the player you bet on hit a shot because the TV coverage is so bad and they're buried, and you're basically just refreshing your phone like a crack addict over and over and over. And you got, the wife glaring at you saying, hey, can you pay attention to the kids, not your phone? Yep. So I haven't been in that situation ever at all. But one thing I want to do, and I kind of mentioned this in our mailbag show. I think it was the mailbag show. I think I need to have a little more imagination with my bets. Okay. I think I need to expand my mind with the possibilities that, you know, maybe that long shot will hit. Maybe I should go with my gut a little more. Maybe I shouldn't just rely just purely on the stats and kind of go with my feel a little bit. And also, I've been seeing you guys have a lot of fun on Thursdays, and I typically have avoided first-round leader bets and positional bets. And you know what? We're going to start doing that this year, starting as a century.
It's so funny whenever you actually put out first-round leaders, you pretty much, I think every single time you hit one.
Yeah.
Like, I remember the Masters, you put some out and you hit Brooks or, no, it was Vic maybe. But yeah, I'm excited for... on that note, I want to start doing some more make the cut parlays. I do have a book that offers, like, you know, people to make the cut. So you get your Thursday sweat with the first round leaders. Then you need a Friday sweat. Saturday, you get all your stuff done, hang out with your kids. And then Sunday, you got your outright sweats. So that's something I want to do more too.
You know, the made cut parlays is definitely a very easy way to make enemies in the PGA Tour. Is that bum who bogeys 18 or doubles or hits in the water and costs your five-way parlay. You know, that's the way to really say, you know, fuck you, Justin Rose. I'm never betting you again. And then he wins the next week. You know, you wonder what happened there. But no, I like those resolutions. I'll ask probably Capper if he ever gets healthy and gets a voice again. I'll ask him if he wants to do anything differently. I'm sure there's probably something crazy he wants to do. I was his betting card, but
yeah. And I feel like that's one thing people like about our show, is that, you know, you have your, you know, your expertise, you look at all the numbers, all the stats. And then you kind of get a more gut handicapper's outlook on the tournament by cap. So like, I think this show provides a good balance of both, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's the reason why I think, that and our chemistry. Apparently, I think, yeah. I'm the Mike Greenberg versus he's the Mike Golic. I think that's why we kind of work over the years. Do you know the origin of that, by the way, how we started this show?
I don't think you guys have ever told me, because I joined in about episode. I mean, that y'all were a good 100, 150 episodes in before I joined in, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically, I got this random message on when I was still on Twitter. Actually, no, I think I might have, no, I was still on Twitter at that point. It was 2019, and he messaged me, and I was actually on my baby moon at that point before I first came.
Okay.
And I got a message from Boston Capper. I was like, what the hell is this? And he's like, hey, listen, I talked to Kramer. Why don't we do a show? And honestly, at first I was like, I don't know, man. Am I really going to do the show that gets hammered with a guy that gets hammered with a, you know, fake Boston accent to a golf show with him? So I said, look, like, I'm about to have a kid. Like, this is not really a good time for me to be starting a show at all. Why don't we talk next year? Maybe I'll get my footing together. Then the pandemic hit and everything just went to shit. But then finally, around August the following year in 2020, I get the same message from him. He's like, hey, why don't we start a show? And I'm like, you know what? I'm just stuck at home drinking wine and beer and no one's going out. And you know what? Why don't we start a podcast? And that was actually the first show that we ever did was the first time we ever spoke, period. Like face to face. Yeah. And to the point where Ryan Kramer actually asked us, so you guys have never talked before at all? He was actually surprised with how good our chemistry was. And 335 episodes later, give or take, we are still running strong. So that is the origin story of the golf gambling podcast. I didn't think I would actually go into that with this show.
There you go.
Listen, huh. Yeah, new year, I guess, talk about beginnings. And we're at the beginning of another PGA Tour season. Before we get to all of that, why don't we take our first ad break and why don't we talk about Underdog Fantasy? So Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, and college football. Even golf, by the way, which coming up after this show, I'm going to be doing some underdog picks on YouTube. So stay tuned for that. It'll get released probably either tomorrow morning or later on tonight. So simply pick higher or lower on all your favorite players' fantasy stats and cash in. And just a spoiler alert for the types of bets I'm going to be liking on Underdog this week for the Century Tournament Champions, lots of birdies. The weather report's going to be looking pretty good. Not a whole lot of wind. All that wind that I talked about on Monday seems like it's kind of subsiding. So pound the higher amounts of birdies on those props there. So watch along, make your picks, and make a little cash over on Underdog Fantasy mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. And when you sign up with the promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. It's Underdog Fantasy promo code SGPN. And we're also brought to you by the Hockey Golf Game, or the Hockey Gambling Podcast hoodie giveaway. They just launched their new YouTube channel, and they're giving away an HGP hoodie to celebrate. So go over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/HGP to enter. That sportsgamblingpodcast.com/HGP. All right. Let's finally get to the Century Tournament champions. Why don't we start right at the top of the odds board? And why don't I kick it off with Scottie Scheffler? And this was a guy that you religiously bet a lot last year.
So last year I did. I single bulleted him for probably at least 7 weeks straight. And my reasoning was that eventually that putter was going to wake up and he was going to win because everything else was just off the charts. And that just tells you how important putting is, because it never happened. And I bet him top 5-2 every single tournament and was able to, you know, not lose a ton, you know? But yeah, it was an experience for sure. Definitely learned a lot from it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm counting. He had 7 in a row from the Byron Nelson to the Scottish Open. And then he collapsed at the BMW Championship when I decided to join you with single bulleting Scotty. That was another rough loss for your boy last year. Out of many wins, by the way, not a lot of rough losses. You always remember the rough losses in golf. So the case for Scotty, I kind of talked about it a lot yesterday. I mean, listen, it's very easy to make his case for Scotty. He's the best ball striker in the world. This is a golf course that is going to really work at iron shots, and it's really going to come down to the putter. Listen, if he shows with the putter that he had in Albany with the same Tiff Eagle greens, he's going to win this thing by 5. But it's 5.5-1. It's a really good field. This is not the time for me to, I think, single bullet Scotty. I think looking at his other positional prices, I mean, you're getting barely plus money on a top 5. You're paying a lot of juice for a 10 and 20. It's probably for me. I think I was intrigued to maybe look at what his matchup price would be against Hovland, because I definitely prefer Scotty at this golf course to Hovland, but you were paying a lot of juice on that too. It was like -1. It was between like -155 and like -175. So
yeah,
I'm off Hovland. That's probably my pick. How do you feel about Hovland this week?
So I was going to ask you about him because obviously he's probably the hottest golfer in the world towards the end of the season. And so I guess I can go ahead and ask you my first question.
Sure.
And a lot of people who are listening probably have the same question, but one thing that I look at every week is obviously recent form. And people talk about that a lot in this golf gambling community. Like, how well does he look coming in? I mean, we hit Camilo Villegas, and I mean, he kind of just jumped out of nowhere at the end of last season and got second and then got first, right? So being hot and is definitely something you look at, right? But this tournament, we don't really know anything about anyone's recent form. A lot of them probably went on vacations, didn't, you know, maybe practice, did golf here and there. But how much should we take their last golf tournament into account? Like, I started looking at some guys that I'm going to name off later. And you look at their last tournament and it was in October. Like, I feel like we can't really judge their recent form off of that, right?
No, you can't. I mean, you can talk about it in generalities, like saying, hey, look, like this guy was starting to improve in the fall. Like, I use that case a little bit for some guys, just kind of make a point of maybe they're just kind of a better player at this point. But overall, though, what I kind of looked at more was, especially with the approach shot stats this week, I looked at a very big sample size. I looked at the last 2 years for strokes gained per shot for certain ranges. That basically gives me an indication of what you just are in general. And I kind of did a cross reference to what you did last year too. If you do improve in that category, I'll make reference to one guy that over the last, who has shown a lot of great improvement in a certain area that I like this week. But a lot of long-term form, a lot of just relying on what I know about the player, maybe looking at a little bit of course history here. You know, it's for a lot of these guys, only maybe like one tournament or two. But for Hovland, for me, I think the tiebreaker is Scotty is just way better with his shorter irons than Hovland is. Hovland is about as good as he is from over, you know, 150 yards, over 170 yards, one of the best in the board from over 200. But Scotty just threw the bag, you know, with his wedges, long irons, everything. It's just God,
his driver was so good in his last tournament. What, where was it?
It was in Albany.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure his driver was just on fire there too.
Yeah, which is basically Albany's kind of a flatter version of Kapalua, where it's really wide fairways. If you do happen to miss a fairway, it's probably a lost ball and a penalty stroke, because we kind of saw there in Albany. But listen, like, you know, you got the Augusta National comps, we're hitting off uneven lies. You know, obviously Scotty, I think if you're going to choose between Scotty and Hovland, I think Scotty for me is the answer. But unfortunately, the books agree. You got to pay a lot of juice for it. But where I turn my attention most towards the top of the board is that little middle tier there of Morikawa, Xander, Cantlay, and Homa. And I had a decision to make. I can only pick one guy out of those four. Those are the ones I like the most, I think, for betting, you know, outright towards the top there. Okay. So, do you have a personal preference of those four between Homa, Morikawa, Shoffley, and Cantlay? I know Morikawa, you said, is going to be a very popular pick this week.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'll go ahead and rattle off my first. I haven't bet any of these guys, by the way. I wanted to talk with you first. Knew I was coming on, so I wanted to talk first. Max Homa. So Max Homa, to go back to my recent form comment, he just won on the DP World Tour, kind of took away the narrative that he can only win on the West Coast. Well, is Hawaii technically the West Coast? I mean, he got third here last year. He putted well, really, really well here. Why is no one betting him? Is it the number? Is it too short?
I think people probably are scared of his Bermuda history in general.
Okay.
You know, it's him and Cantlay that definitely don't have good Bermuda history in general, even though, you know, people will point to, well, we want to Quail Hollow. Yeah, but those greens are overseeded. It's not this type of Bermuda. Okay. I would almost bet Homa here, because I was very impressed in the last like 4 or 5 months. Going back to like the FedEx Cup playoffs too, that he was really starting to drive the ball really good. His iron play was starting to really show up. You know, yeah, sure, you can say, well, he beat a crap field over the DP World Tour. Well, he did exactly what a good player should do against a weak field. He beat him by multiple shots. And I think he's set up for a really good year in 2024. I'm already on record for saying I really like him at the PGA Championship to maybe get that first major. But I think the Bermuda history in general is enough to get me off of Max Homa here. So I cut him off first.
Okay.
Okay.
That's the only name I have written down up here. Xander withdrew last year. I don't remember why.
Neck injury.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And then obviously we have Ludwig, but who is new, but, I don't know. I wanted to get your take on him too.
On Ludwig?
Yeah.
Well, he kind of put me in a body bag at RSM, because on paper his wedges are horrific, but RSM is basically just a lot of short irons, and he ended up winning that. So maybe he just is better in that category now. I just didn't bet him. The number is, these are a lot of really good players around, and he's an excellent player in his own right too, but I think I would, if he was in the 20s, maybe towards like where like Tom Kim was, I'd be tempted to bet him, but around like Xander and Morikawa and Cantlay.
I feel like he's gotten too much steam. You know, a lot of people are going to be like, he's the next Tiger, kind of like we did with Montgomery at the beginning of last season. So yeah, I think I'm going to stay off from there.
Okay. All right. So the guy I bet though, and I went back and forth, and I see Boston Capper in the chat. Hello, Boston Capper. How are you? Get ready to, well, I'm glad you don't have a voice, because you're not gonna be able to scream at your phone here. I bet Patrick Cantlay, like I mentioned last night. I bet him at 16-1. I thought that was a good price on him. And the only reason why I really bet Cantlay, actually, it's a couple reasons. First, I made mention of that interview that he had with, I think, Golf Digest, where he talked about inflected on his season. And he said, listen, like I was really close all year, but it was disappointing to not get a win. And he was very close a lot of times last year. He's been within five of the league going to the final round 13 times the last 2 years. He only has one win in that stretch. And he was one of the best players from under 175 in the world last year. That's obviously a lot of shots you got to hit from this range. Now, the concern, obviously, with Cantlay is, wait a minute, Steve, you just say he's not really good on Bermuda. But for whatever reason, at Kapalua, he's always putt really good here, and he's always been really good around the green here. I don't know why that hasn't translated to other places. It also could be now that he's a Florida resident, maybe he just practices more on Bermuda now. Maybe it's just getting better at this point. But I think Cantlay is due for a win. This is a tournament where you got to make a lot of birdies. He has one of the highest birdie rates in the field. He's done well at places like TPC Summerlin, where he hit a lot of birdies. Obviously, he won Kays Valley at like 27 under, so I know he can win a birdie fest. And just thinking about the types of courses he's been really good at recently, it's been a lot of courses with a lot of short irons, like Travelers and Harbor Town and Southwind. And maybe those are a little bit more his types of tracks. So I am betting Cantlay 16-1 towards the top of my card.
Okay. I'm probably not going to tail you on that one. I can't do it. I have a rule that I don't bet guys that choke down the stretch. I need stone cold mental killers on my cards.
Okay. You know, but this is a softy tournament though.
That's true. That's true.
It is. This is definitely one where can feel comfortable. Not a lot of wind, a lot of birdies. He's got two top fives here.
You got some pineapple ice cream when you get done with your round.
Yeah, I think it was Mai Tais that one year when he said, hey, all right, last hole, let's go get some Mai Tais after this. So I love Xander and Morikawa this week too. I found other ways to get them my betting card. Morikawa I'll save once we get through everything. We'll talk about like first round leader and props here. But Xander's been awesome at this tournament. And he's got the win here. He lost in a playoff, multiple other top 10 finishes. I think the fact that he, withdrew last year, maybe that's sticking with him. That's another guy who I consider to be outright because he hasn't won in a while either. I found a top 10 on Xander Schauffele plus 140. I think that's a good price considering how good he is here. I am betting that too.
All right.
Okay. Let's see. Anybody else in this range? How about Spieth or Tom Kim or Fitzpatrick or Finau? So, you said you like Finau, so why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you about Tony. So the other guys that I've been seeing a ton of on Twitter, just to let you know, Jordan Spieth in that, just this whole range, basically. Jordan Spieth, Matt Fitzpatrick, and Tom Kim. A lot of people have one of those guys, if not two, on their card. Tony Finau is one of those guys where obviously he can only win in a bunny field. So I wanted to ask you, because this is maybe a short field, is it technically like a field where we could see Tony win? Because, I mean, his short game is really good. His approach shots are going to be really good. And let's see. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean,
I think he's got the driving distance. Tony Finau.
I don't think he's going to, like, if I think the winning score is 27 under, 30 under, I don't think Tony can get there. That's really
okay.
It's just
his birdie rate. Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. He always misses those putts on Saturday and Sunday, too. I don't see Tony winning that type of tournament. I did bet another guy, under 31 here. I said it yesterday, Tom Kim. I got him at 28-1. You can get him at 30-1 now. And just think about it. Good with the short irons, makes a lot of birdies, won a place like Summerlin and Wyndham. So you got the good Bermuda history, good attraction. You got to make a lot of birdies there. I think he finished top 15 at the Masters. So I know you can get him down on the even lies. And I just had a picture in my head of just, I was going to bet Tom Kim almost despite whatever number I saw. I was disappointed that it was only 30. I was hoping to get maybe like 35 or so, but whatever. I was just kind of pot committed to betting Tom Kim this week. I don't care if he's popular. This is the type of track that I want to, get him on because I know he can get hot. He's a good putter, makes a lot of birdies, good putter on this type of surface too. So my first outrights are Cantlay and Tom Kim, 16 and 28. I have two more down the card that we'll talk about. But do you have anybody, any other thoughts in this range before we move on?
Not right now as far as outrights go. A lot of people are on Brian Harman too, at 50. Cam Young is never winning, so don't waste your money. Okay. Some people are betting Keegan too.
Why don't we say that when we talk about the mid tier?
Okay, I'm jumping it.
Oh, that's okay. Why don't we take another break first and let's talk about the GameTime.co, the GameTime app. And yeah, I talked about yesterday. My brother-in-law is still trying to get rid of one of his tickets for one of his friends because, yeah, listen, they end up moving the Bills-Dolphins game to Sunday night, and his friend has a flight that evening. But you know what he can do? I've been trying to tell him all week. Go to GameTime.co, put that ticket up there, because there's going to be somebody who's going to want to go to that game at the last minute, looking to get a quick ticket, and he's going to be able to get rid of the fact. And GameTime.co, that is a great place to buy all your tickets, and especially the last minute. And GameTime is fast, easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. It's got killer deals on last-minute tickets at their best price guarantee. You can stop stressing over tickets and start getting hyped for the fun you'll have. So, you know, it's the place to get last-minute ticket deals. Forget planning months in advance. GameTime has deals on tickets right up to the day in advance. And it's even got exclusive flash deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, anything you can really imagine. And it's got the GameTime guarantee, means that you'll always find the best price. And even if you can't find tickets in the same section or row for less, if you end up doing that, GameTime will credit you 110% of the difference. What a really good company. So it's the fastest growing ticket app in the country for a reason. Plus, you can get images of your seats before you buy, so you know exactly what you're getting into. So download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code CFBX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CFBX for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Get last-minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. And we're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analyst platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. So stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. All right, let's finally get to the mid-tier. So you want to, so Cam Young's never winning, in your opinion, correct?
He's going to win, but okay. I think it's going to be some event that no one thinks that he should win at. Like, I mean, maybe it's going to be like a major when he first wins, but I'm on record saying that he's never going to win. And I don't think he has what it takes. Like I said, going back to the mental side of golf. I don't think he's going to win this.
Okay. Can I make a case for Cam Young?
Oh yeah, there's plenty of cases. Like, well, it's just one of those.
All right. So first off, I mean, you get him near 50, 55 to one, like the same as like Corey Connors. I think Cam Young is a better player than Corey Connors. Cam Young is really good from under 150. Surprisingly, he's really good with his wedges, and that's a club he got to hit really well at this golf course. And he's got really high birdie rates. So even despite really bad putting and really bad around the green game, he makes a ton of birdies. Now, he also shoots himself in the foot.
I was about to say that.
So that's the trade-off here, and you can't really do that with sloppy play. But, you know, I mean, Cam Young went to a birdie fest at the WGC match play, made a bunch of birdies, made the finals, just got hot for 5 days there. You know, you never know. Do I think he's going to get to 30 under and win this? Probably not, but it's a good price. There are things you can hang your hat on with Cam Young. Maybe probably a good DFS play, I feel like, instead. Yeah. But the case can be made for him. That's all I can say. Let's see. I think you can also make a case for Sam Burns. I didn't bet him, but kind of along the similar lines is, listen, not a good iron player on paper, but he's pretty good from, you know, with his short irons. And when he gets hot with a putter, he makes a lot of birdies. So that's something maybe hang your head on, you know, at 40 to 1 for a guy that has, you know, a lot of wins. He's got 5 wins. He's won a couple of golf courses where it's been mostly short irons too. You know, he could do that as well. I am finding a guy who ended up dipping to 40-1. And this is going to be another guy that Boston Capper cannot scream into the phone about, because I think I'm going to be electrocuted every time I bet him. But Sungjae fell to 40-1. And I wasn't going to add a fourth guy because I was content with the 3 with Cantlay, Tom Kim, and then the R guy I'll talk about in a little bit. But I think at 41 for Sungjae Im, I end up betting him. Again, he has, like Cantlay, 13 times the last 2 years he's been within 5 of the lead heading to the final round. He has only 1 win. Actually, I think he has 0 wins in that stretch. So he was one of the best players from under 150 last year. Now, that's a big improvement from what it was back the previous year. So if you're looking at really long-term data, it doesn't look as good. But if you only look last year, he was one of the best from under 150. Really good putter in Bermuda. Makes a lot of birdies. He's got a good track record here. Got a good track record at Augusta National with the uneven lies, too. So at 40-1 for a guy who seems like he's always in the mix, always gets off to a fast start, by the way. I'll talk about that in a little bit. I end up doubling up with Sungjae not only for the outright 40-1. I am betting it like a matchup. Sungjae top 20 minus 110. I am just betting that and betting, you know, 2 units on it, and we'll see what happens.
I like that a lot. I feel like that's a great contrarian play if you're looking for something in DFS too. Like, I haven't seen anyone talking about Sungjae. I feel like he's kind of under the radar. But he's Sungjae. I mean, he's good around the greens, good putting. He's got okay distance, right? That probably is the reason people aren't betting him, right?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I talked about it last night where, yeah, the data golf predictive skill set favors distance, but I think that's more of a measurement of like what types of players you should play this tournament. It's usually really good players in the PGA Tour. It's the best of the best, and most of the best players tend to have guys with distance. So I think that's why, and the predictive skill sets say, oh, you got to be long, good iron player, good around the green, good putter. I think it's more this, and you compare it to, you know, who's been best at this tournament. It's been Morikawa and like Tom Hoge played well here last year. JJ Spahn played well last year. Spieth, when he was doing really well at this tournament, didn't have as much distance as most guys too. So, you know, you don't have to necessarily have a lot of pop to do well here. I think this golf course more promotes what you're good at, and if you can be very efficient to get the ball in the hole and make a lot of birdies doing it. And that's why I think getting a guy like 40-1, where I know he can go really low, he's won Summerlin before, that's I end up just saying, okay, at that point it's too good of a price for me to pass up.
Before we go any further into the mid range, if gun to your head, do you think that the guys who are betting 1 to 2 guys in that upper, you know, or that lower range, are going to win? Or do you think the strategy in this tournament is to spray the board and go hope someone in the, you know, 100s, 90s, 70s, 60s wins?
I mean, based on recent trends, it's been top of the board that hits at this tournament. Okay. I think the worst odds to hit the last 7 or 8 Century Tournament champions have been 30-1. Now, granted, that was only with like 35 guys. This is now 50 guys. So Harris English might have been like, I think that was, he was like 30-1 when he won. He might have been like 50-1 if we had this type of field. So, okay. You know, and then there's a lot of really good players who can put up a lot of birdies from, you know, 30-1 to like, I would say probably your limit is probably, I mean, I'm a hypocrite because I went past this for my last guy, but I would probably say once you get past like Burns and Cam Young and Brian Harman, it's probably a little ambitious to think this guy's going to beat all of Scotty, Hovland, Morikawa, Xander, Cantlay, Ludvig.
Yeah, I have a lot of guys. I feel like I have a lot of guys that look good on paper that just have no shot at winning. But maybe, you know, maybe I want to ask you about him because maybe it's a good opportunity for a matchup or something.
Okay. All right. There you go. Yeah. So from here on, I have one more outright and I have a couple of positionals, but why don't you ask me a couple guys in this range?
Okay. So I'm definitely betting Eric Cole. I think he's one of those guys that has the mental fortitude to get there, to lift the trophy, but just has gotten really close and hasn't. I don't know if it's going to be here, but I mean, 60-1. Why not? I mean,
okay.
I bet him at freaking 15-1, I feel like, at the end of last season. So I can't stop now. And then Sahith Theegala, we all like him. Our friend Byron likes him this week. His big weakness is what? Obviously, the driving accuracy. He's just a wild off the tee, right? As we know, that doesn't really matter here. He's good. He's a great putter, great around the greens, has decent driving accuracy. Maybe I need your advice on his iron play, but I love Sahith Theegala, and I think he can do it in this field even. So,
I mean, he's got the talent for it. I think the only other weakness, which is enough for me to get off of him, he's really bad from under 150. Really
okay.
Bad short irons. I mean, like, not terrible. He's like PGA Tour average, but with the best of the best.
You can't be average.
Yeah, average is back half of the field at this point. So, yes, he makes a lot of birdies. I do like that. I think if you're going to bet Sahith Theegala, I think maybe a first-round leader might be a good bet.
Yeah. You
know, or okay. Maybe, like, top five after round one. Because I feel like with Sahith, it's you're going to know immediately if he's got it. So, I think I like that route with him. He's actually been... over the last 2 years or so, you know, he's gone off to a lot of really fast starts in his career. But the short iron game was enough for you to get me off. And as far as Eric Cole, listen, like, the case is very easy for Eric Cole. I mentioned this in Discord. What am I looking for this week? Guys are really good with their short irons. Eric Cole is really good with his short irons. Guys make a lot of birdies. Eric Cole made a lot of birdies last year. Good putter on Bermuda. Eric Cole is really good putter on Bermuda. Do I think he's actually going to win? No. Do I think a top 20 on him plus 150 is pretty good? I like that. There's a couple other props I have on him later on for a fast start, because he's been one of the fastest starting guys in the PGA Tour in his career. Yes. I'm going to quiz you actually in a little bit on that. But yeah, so I like Eric Cole. I think a lot of people are going to like Eric Cole. This is not really a surprise. I think he's going to be pretty chalk in DFS. But the case is very easy to make for him based on what you're looking for. So I'm just going to ride it. I think the plus 150 for a top 20, given his talents and how I think he can do with this golf course, I think that's reasonable. So that's where he's on my card.
All right. And then our current U.S. Open champion.
Wyndham Clark. So Wyndham Clark might have come back to earth a little bit. Didn't have the best fall, although he did pretty. Was he at the Hero World Challenge?
He was, and he got 19th. How did he do?
Okay, so he got dead last then. All right.
Yeah. No, so he did. He shot plus two. Will Zalatoris shot plus 11.
All right, so he was next to last. It was mostly around the green. All right, so he hit the ball there. Look. I mean, since the Tour Championship, you know, 56 at the end of the LaCia Masters, T37 of the Dunlop Phoenix Tournament. I don't have stats for that for him, but that was a very weak field, so I can't imagine he did all the great. And then next to last, the Hero.
He lost all of his strokes around the green.
He did. He's had some clunkers with the irons recently. So look, a lot of stuff for Wyndham Clark, at least, you know, long-term, looks okay if you're going past, you know, basically around the U.S. Open time. Since then, it's cooled off. I get the case for him. High birdie rates, good putter on Bermuda. Not really for me. I think he might have turned back into a pumpkin, in my opinion.
Okay. So he looks like he got third at the Tour Championship. That's probably, points adjusted, right?
No, that's actually, I think, legit. I think Data Golf, how they put it, is just how you finish as far as strokes gain, not the staggered leaderboard.
Okay. So it looks like he got third and played really, really well at Eastlake. And then he went to Europe and played in Europe, and then he played in Japan.
Yes.
And then he came back for the hero and
And he wasn't that great at the Ryder Cup either.
That's true.
So that's also missing in there. Yeah, I've never been a big Wyndham guy. I know a lot of people were. I was late to the party on him, and then the party was over when I was there. So
he's number two on Data Golf's adjusted strokes gained in relative course fit, I guess.
Yeah, and that's all because of the driving,
Yeah.
Yeah, and I talked about that yesterday. I don't think the predictive skill set is very useful this week, just because it all that is measuring is the types of guys that typically do well at this tournament. And this tournament always has the best players, and the best players tend to be pretty long off the tee and, you know, good with a bunch of other stuff. Obviously, with the accuracy, I can get that because it's wide fairways, but I think it's a little misleading.
Okay.
Say that he's just going to come in here and dominate. I don't think that's as predictive as what it's suggesting.
Okay.
Okay.
So that probably, you're probably not going to like a lot of these guys that have low. I'm just throwing out flyers here at this point.
Okay. Well, I got one guy we haven't talked about. Maybe it's on your list. I mentioned it last night on the preview show. I really like JT Poston this week.
Okay.
So iron play was really good in the fall, and actually really good like in the last like 6 months, like starting with like midsummer there. In the last 2 years, he's been within five of the lead 10 times. That's going to the final round. That's one of the highest clips in this field. I think he only has one win to show for it. Really good putter in Bermuda, good putter in general, decent
birdie. Man, he's putting his ass off towards the
Right, and he's a good short iron player too. So I it was 100-1 on him. Listen, so I think he's actually going to win. No, but it's 100-1, and he fit everything I'm looking for. And like I was looking at, like, okay, why is Eric Cole 50-1 and JT Poston is 100-1?
Yeah.
Like, they've been doing similar stuff. They're kind of similar profiles. So I am going with 100-1 on him. But I like both. But I that was another guy I just kind of had a gut call on. And look, like, I mean, like, if Harris English can win at Kapalua, I think JT Poston, based on what he's been doing, can win at Kapalua. And, you know, Cam Smith also, you know, JT Poston's not good off the tee. Cam Smith was pretty weak in that category too, but he got high with his irons and putt his ass off. Maybe JT Poston can just have a magical 4 days. And
he's a good, I feel like I see him on the first round leaderboard too a lot.
Mm-hmm. You do. And maybe actually, what is there anybody else like over 100-1 you want to ask about? I got a couple guys down here. Maybe you'll.
Yeah, I did some dumpster diving. Maybe I need to play DFS this week and just like throw in a lineup with like one of each of these guys and just hope they do well. The main guy I want to ask, and I put a star around it, is Mackenzie Hughes.
Okay.
So Mackenzie Hughes.
Good putter.
Great putter. Yeah, pretty good. He just got second at the RSM, putted really well. And I think this was one of the he's kind of up there in the relative skill chart. I think it was maybe his course history here too. Let's see.
So his course history. His course history is not great here.
No, it's not. 21st last year, which is pretty low.
Which is out of like 40 guys.
Yeah, yeah. And then he got like dead last in 2021.
Yeah. So the problem with Mackenzie Hughes is it's all about creating opportunities for yourself for birdies, and he just doesn't do that because he's a really bad ball striker. He's really bad from under 150. So where I like Mackenzie Hughes, if this was going to get a lot of wind and maybe be like more like that 2020 tournament, it was kind of more of an up and down game, I could buy into Mackenzie Hughes at that point. Most of the tournaments I think where Mackenzie Hughes has been really good is where guys just can't hit fairways and guys can't hit greens, and you know, then he ends up kind of wins a war of attrition just because he makes a bunch of putts. But
I see.
Not with dead calm conditions pretty much most of the tournament. I'm not in on Mackenzie Hughes this week, despite the fact that he's a good putter and could drain a lot of putts. But I don't think he's going to put himself in position to get enough birdie looks, you know, compared to other guys.
What about him versus Andrew Putman or Putnam? Sorry. He blows him away off the tee, and maybe he'll have some better looks than him just based on that.
I would probably side with Putnam there just because he's much better with his shorter irons and he's a good putter on Bermuda. But I've had a lot of bad luck betting Andrew Putnam this fall. I tried a couple times and it really worked out too great for me. But he's got better course history, at least, than Mackenzie Hughes, better short iron player. That's probably enough for me to say, okay, you're going to give yourself more birdie looks at least. So I was side with Putnam in that one.
A lot of people are betting Tom Hoagie this week too. Probably down the board. And then the other guy that I have written down is Nick Hardy. So I think that was just when I thought that driving distance really mattered here. But yeah, based on what you have been saying, I probably shouldn't bet him, even though, I mean, it's 250-1, like, why not? But
The Tom Hoagie one, I guess the rationale is he came top five here last year. He's really good with his short irons and he makes a fair amount of birdies. He also might have turned back into a pumpkin, guys. Like, I'm looking, he hasn't had a top 10 since the Players, when he had like a 60 in like the final round or something.
And I've been to Maui. There's no casinos out in Maui.
No. It's a bunch of Mormons, I think, that settled around that area. So
Nick Hardy's not that good from under 150.
No, Nick Hardy's just not very good, period. Unfortunately.
Yeah, that's why he's 250-1, Steve.
Yeah. How about Capper's boy Camilo Vijegas?
So I thought about that, but I feel like he's got that win and now we're not going to see him. Everything that I know about gambling and in general says no.
He ended up being all right at RSM, I think, the following week. He got to a good start, at least. I noted that. He's pretty good with his wedges.
He got 58th. Under.
Well, I know that he was in the top 10 after the first round, at least.
Yeah, I guess I didn't write him down just because he's not very good off the tee, but I mean, he is really, really good from 50 to 100 and 100 to 150.
Yeah, he's a good short iron player. He won the Port Royal, the Bermuda Championship has Tiff Eagle Greens, and this is Tiff Eagle Greens, so maybe he can continue putting well there. I don't know.
So it's 175.
I wouldn't recommend maybe betting outright, but I mean, top 20, top 30, even if you can find that market out there, you know, maybe that's in a matchup, close your eyes against him and, I don't know, Davis Riley or something. Yeah, maybe that could work out for you.
Yeah, let's see what we got.
Okay.
While
you look at that, actually, I'll ask you a question. So this is what I'm going to start tracking this. Well, actually, I'm going to start tracking this year, and I went back to the last 2 years and looked. So I mentioned this on the show. I want to start betting more first round leaders and positionals after round one. I got to start having a little more fun with this stuff. But I want to start. I was curious about guys who get off to really fast starts on the PGA Tour in round one, specifically, though, not just first round leader, but are you within like two of the lead? Like, did you get into like a sweat? So here are the guys that have been within two of the lead over the last 2 years. Actually, let me ask you directly. Who do you think leads the PGA Tour in either being first round leader or within two of the lead after round one over the last 2 years?
After round one, Rory.
No, he's up on the list. He hit seven times for him. That is good for tied for, it's T7, basically with like five other guys. I'll give you a hint. He's in this field. And it's a guy who kind of sucks.
JJ Spawn. Is he in the field?
No, not JJ Spawn.
Okay, let me look.
I'll give you the answer.
Okay.
It's Denny McCarthy. Ten times over the last 2 years. He's gotten off to spin within two of the lead of the first round lead.
Well, is that because he's just like super hot when he's hot with his putter, like he can literally make it from any distance. It's basically a gimme.
Basically, yeah. Like if he just anytime he's just has a halfway decent iron performance, he's just gonna make the putt at that point.
Okay.
So that's a guy to maybe target for first round leader, like positions, like that type of stuff. Second on the list, I mentioned he's actually on my outright card. And he gets off a really fast start. Sung J.M. 9 times. He's been within two of the leader, first round leader. At 8, the dearly departed John Rahm, Wyndham Clark, Eric Cole, who did that all in 1 year, by the way.
Yep.
At 8.
And wait, Cam how Young, many times?
Eight times. Just wow. In 1 year. And Cam Young, by the way.
Yeah.
It's off to really Cam fast Young. Starts. And then at 7, you got Aaron Rye, Tom Hoagie, Sam Ryder, Callum Morikawa. That's a guy who you kind of know if he's got it or not right out of the jump. Sahith Tagala, really explosive, and Rory McIlroy at that point. So I end up taking this list and just, you know, throw it on my spreadsheet here. And I end up betting some first round leaders. And conveniently enough, the guys I end up betting for outrights and positionals happen to be guys who do pretty well in this metric. And I also tried to maybe get some earlier tee times on Thursday, although at this point, I looked at the weather forecast. It does not look like it's going to be very windy on Thursday. So, and they're all going off at like 8 a.m. Hawaiian time. So they'll be done by like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock Hawaiian time. And I think that's when the winds start going to start kicking up. So most of these guys are going to play in really ideal scoring conditions. So I don't really care about. So what's this point? So first round leader card for me. And I also bet, are you giving me the top 10 after round one? I kind of like this market a little bit. I'm going to explore it a little bit. So Colin Morikawa, 20-1. I just mentioned, you kind of know if he has it or doesn't. You know, one of the leaders of within two of the lead after round one in the last 2 years, 20-1 on him for first round leader. Also, I'll get him for a top 10 after round one, plus 225. Tom Kim, 30-1, backing up the outright bet with a first round leader. Cause I think you saw last year, a lot of my outrights end up hitting first round leader. Also, you can get him for a top 10 after round one at 3-1. Sung J.M., I just mentioned second in the PGA Tour last 2 years, being either first round leader within two of the lead after round one, 33-1 on him, first round leader, top 10 after round one, plus 335. And then Eric Cole, he's going to make another appearance in my betting card, 55-1 first round leader, top 10 for round one, plus 400. And then JT Poston, 66-1 first round leader. He's been within five of the lead six times over the last 2 years, or with two of the lead after round one, six times. 66-1 for first round leader, top 10 for round one, plus 500. So I am staggering these bets where if I hit two of the top 10s, I love making money. Even if I don't hit the first round leader there, if I end up hitting first round leader in one of those, obviously it cashes. Yeah, that's really all I'm looking forward to those. I'm gonna have a little fun on Thursday. And if this goes horribly, then you'll never see me bet this stuff again. But we'll see.
That's something that I started doing too. Like, just like I said, with my outrights, I started taking them all T5. I started doing my first round leaders T5. I'm considering doing only T5s.
Okay. Just like, that's all you're going to bet for the entire, like,
your No. Sorry. Only first round, like first round top fives, no first round leader.
Okay.
And just like see how many I can get into that. I'm considering that. I know there's a few other guys on Twitter that do that. They just bet first round leader T5 or first round leader T10. But yeah, I mean, I like all those.
Okay. All right, cool.
You not know Denny though?
No Denny. I'm just kind of a never Denny guy. I had a little love affair with him last summer, and
so now that you say that, I have Denny McCarthy. I have a list of my made a list of my enemies, and featuring that list is Doug Peterson for all of the insane decisions that he makes that affect the spread that he needs to be investigated for. I have the city of Baltimore. I have the entire AFC North. I have the city of Austin. I have the guy that stole my dogs. And then I have Denny McCarthy. And I don't remember why, but I think it was because I had like a massive first round leader. And then he just comes out of nowhere and steals it.
Was that the Travelers?
I don't remember.
Because I think that I think you were cursing McCarthy at the Travelers.
Yeah, he okay.
Shot like 62 or something in the afternoon. I think he stole it.
Yeah. Me. Yeah. I think I had like a lot, like I stood to win a lot if he just could have and then he stole it away.
Maybe so, yeah, you had like, maybe you had Keegan for first
round. Oh, leader. That's what it was. That's
and then
was.
McCarthy stole it, and then Keegan ended up winning the tournament. I don't think he had Keegan to win the tournament.
No, though. I don't think I did either.
That was a rough one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I think the next week was the fateful Rocket Mortgage debacle, which we round back to that. So I didn't mention he's on my betting card. I know Cam Davis is really popular. I get it. I think this is going to be my closing thought. I don't know why I want to close on Cam Davis, but I think he's going to have a really good year in the PGA Tour, where for whatever reason, just didn't find his way on my betting card. But he's a good short iron player, decent putter, decent birdie rates. Good finish here, I think, is in the past at Kapalua. So if you have him on your card, I don't hate it. For whatever reason, just didn't find his way onto mine. But he was probably one of the last guys off.
Yeah, he's one of those guys too, where I mean, I feel like I like watching all the Camerons because my name is Cameron, but I didn't think he was gonna win either. And then you told me that he's already won, and I was like, well, it doesn't count because I wasn't watching golf at that time. So in my eyes, he hasn't won yet. Do you have any matchups?
No, I don't do matchups anymore. I've retired. I lost my feel with matchups. That used to be my bread and butter. And for whatever reason, I just
went cold and
I went real cold. And it's like,
I feel like that's kind of the same sentiment that I have with placements.
Yeah, I am finding, you know, diving more into placements, and I don't have to worry about another guy at that point. I also think the books are a lot sharper with their matchups now, where it's harder to find edges at this point. So it's Capper is really good at matchups because it's more of like a gut feel, you know, gut handicapping thing. And for me, it just isn't. And it's gotten a lot harder. It got to a point where it got a lot harder to be like, okay, this guy's a clear advantage over this guy. They're doing a better job pairing them. And I think at that point I just said, you know what, screw it. I'm gonna stop doing it.
Yeah. Okay. Is Sepp Straka a better iron player than Cam Davis? I feel like he is.
On paper, yes, but I think just in general they're close.
So Sepp just got second at the Hero World Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's another good sleeper pick. That's another guy I just missed off my betting card. I think at the Hero, it's a lot of long iron shots, which is why I liked him there. Here it's a lot of short irons, and he's not very good with his wedges.
Oh, well, he's better than the tour average, at least. Like
I have him from under 150 over the last 2 years, as one of the lowest rated guys in this field. Now, maybe really? he was better last year. Let me take a look. That was a 2 year sample size. I take a look at what he did last year.
He's paired up with Cam Davis in a matchup. Okay. Cam is better than him from 50 to 100.
Okay. I take that back. So the last 2 years, he's exactly 50th percentile on strokes gained per shot. He improved on that metric in 2023 to 70th percentile. So he's gotten better. I will concede that. So, you know what? If he's a better player with his wedges now, I don't hate that. I don't hate that play.
He's plus 105 against Cam Davis. I had Mac Hughes over like Putnam or Hadwin. I think you kind of talked me off those. I'm probably gonna fade Cam Young. It was with another guy I liked, Wyndham Clark at plus 110. And I think I'm gonna bet Sahith in over Justin Rose.
Okay.
But I have a question mark by that because I think I wanted to ask you about Justin Rose just because I don't really watch him all that much.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, he's he's kind of, you know, he's getting older, not as good off the tee, lost a lot of pop. The iron play is still pretty decent. Not as good of a putter as he used to be. He's definitely, he's steady. Like, he's probably going to finish T18 to T24 this week, while Sahith has a pretty high, variance of where he's going to finish. So what'd you say? You got plus money on that?
Sahith, I got... No, Sahith is minus 135.
Oh, that's a lot. I think I would lay off at that point. It could go really bad for Sahith this week.
You think so?
Yeah, that's a lot of juice to lay for a lot of variants. I think Sahith, you really should consider like first round leader or like top 10 for the first round, because you're going to know if he's got it or not out of the jump.
Okay. And I think I want to find a matchup with Max in it too. See here.
Maybe against Spieth.
So he's paired up with Xander, Patrick Cantlay, and Ludvig. He's plus 120 to Patrick Cantlay and plus 105 to Xander.
I would probably take him plus 120 over Cantlay.
Yeah,
even though I like Cantlay this week, that's, you know, a good price, and Cantlay could just be falling his face on Bermuda, and maybe I'm just overthinking it. So I don't mind that.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Any other? Let's see. Vic is plus 130 to Scotty.
Yeah, I mean, I made the case at the top of the show. I like Scotty a lot better than Vic at this course. But if
Colin Morikawa plus 165 to Scotty,
that one I would be interested in. I think that's a lot of plus money for a guy who, listen, the weather report's kind of turning his favor now, where it's not going to be as windy. You know, he could go out and just win this thing and win that matchup.
Colin Morikawa plus 120 to Vic.
I like that, actually. I like that. Actually, I like that a lot, actually.
Dang. Maybe that's
dangerous because I suck a match. It's dangerous because I suck a matchup, but maybe because I'm not actually betting this and just giving my take.
Yeah. That's
actually a good thing for you.
Yeah. Maybe that's how I'll get involved in the Morikawa.
Okay.
On top of the first round leader.
Okay. All right. We're an hour. Okay. I got nothing else. You got anything else?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. NFL show this week or no?
Yeah. I mean, I would like to record one. It depends on what Capper, and if he gets his voice back. If not, we'll bring you back up to go over NFL picks. So otherwise, though, thanks for listening. Make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the Golf Gaming Podcast on Spotify and Apple. We haven't gotten a review in a while, so let us know what you think here. Also, make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on X. Well, good luck with your bets this week. Good to be back in the swing of things, and we'll see you on Thursday for our NFL pick show. That's all.
Let it ride.